Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Uncommon Sense, the most uncommon place on the internet, where we question everything and learn together. My name is Billy the Kid, and I will be your host today, along with
Uncle Butch,
and
I'm frozen again.
It doesn't seem.
Oh, no. There we go. And we have a, let me see if I can get out of the way here. We have a new addition to our studio.
Slacker.
Yeah.
You and me.
I know. I'm talking to ghosts here. You heard the door creak. I had to tell the ghost of the studio that we're live.
So guess who's back, you guys?
Oh. Yeah.
Who's back? Back there again. John is back. Tell your friends. Anyway.
Oh no, I don't know if we should do a little parody of that, of that artist.
I don't even care. Anyway, besides, he,
You want that on?
Well, actually, I was kind of thinking.
What we got?
Show everybody what we got.
Can't go and too like, far.
I don't know, maybe we could,
No.
Can you hold it in front of yours?
Can I hold it in front of mine?
Here we go.
I will debut our latest addition to the studio. And if you couldn't make out what that was, it's a flying saucer. There is a thing called Little Green Man. I will show you now.
Bluetooth is on.
See? Here they come. The Little Green Man.
Oh, there we can see him. It looks cool up on the ceiling, though.
Oh, yeah.
Stars. Little green stars.
Little green stars.
Oh, now they're blue.
Now what color are they?
Blinding.
I heard it's not good to have green lasers in your eyes.
Oh, no.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Enough of our shenanigans here in the studio.
Now that I messed up all the cameras.
Well, you got to shut that off?
Yeah.
All right, let's turn that off.
Although it looks cool glowing through my cup lid.
All right, well, I can leave that on. Turn the lasers off.
All right, enough messing around, you guys. Jeez. Get with the program. John?
Welcome back. We missed you.
Settle down back there, dude. Anyway, okay. So, on with the show.
Today, we're untitled, and the reason we're untitled is because we're not quite sure what we're going to talk about this week.
We had a few ideas. But, everybody's talking about the whole Palestine thing, and frankly, I don't like being part of the crowd.
Yeah.
Some of us are unpopular because we want to be. I don't want all that attention. No. No, just really, though, like, I don't really like conforming to anything.
Right.
And the fact that everybody's talking about it, it's kind of like, if I'm not the first to talk about it, like we were with the Oliver Anthony thing,
yeah,
then, because everybody else has already talked about it, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So let's talk about it.
Plus, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to downplay anything that's going on over there, but on the same note, I have to say it's rather interesting, the timing of it.
Yeah. So
right as we were all getting into the nitty gritty of what was happening on a specific island that we all care about.
Right.
All of a sudden, this happens. And those of us who are paying attention know that our tax dollars have funded both sides.
And that's the, well, we funded both sides, but on the weapons that they've amassed.
Yeah, and if everything's going on...
Because I'm pretty sure we don't sell them AK-47s.
And if everything going on that island...
Right.
...was planned...
Right.
...then the timing of this is even that much more interesting and... ...likely planned.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me. What do you guys think in the comment section? I'm just crazy anyways. Anyway, so was Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
I can be crazy along with them. I'll be that kind of crazy.
Yeah. The magic numbers are what? 3, 6, and 9. And yes, I heard that out there, Franklin.
And I barked proudly. Oh. That guy was definitely crazy.
Yes.
There's also some strange things around him that we found out, well, several years ago, like bodies underneath his house. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Just saying.
Was he like related to, you know? Never mind.
Stop there. Yeah. Questions that need to be answered. If we only dove in deep enough for all the documents. They all have been made public, except for the ones they keep hidden, that they refuse to.
You know, and that's something that I kind of have to question too, like, why when he was in there didn't, you know, everybody's favorite president, why didn't he do a little bit more to declassify a lot of that stuff?
Because his hands were being tied back.
I know, but
it was a Democratic-controlled House and Senate.
I do get that, and I try to take that into consideration as well. However, I don't know. I can question him without judging.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I can question I'm not everything. Saying
he was a bad president or anything.
No,
he was
no.
a good president. But there's also always questions like, why did you do that instead of doing that? You know, right. What kept him from, say, I don't know, giving Snowden a pardon?
Because as soon as Snowden came back to the U.S. soil, he ended up dead.
Well, yeah, and that's true. But I don't know, just... And there's other stuff, too. Some of his policies that I'm kind of like, But overall, he was the best president we've had in my life. Why still wear this hat?
Things
but that happen. Doesn't mean I worship the man. See?
All right, now, here's something that makes you think. WikiLeaks. Julian Assange.
And
Edward Snowden. Both released classified secret material.
Yep.
There wasn't question of whether...
And in my brain, they're kind of a...
Because they knew it was.
Yeah.
They just, questioned his means of obtaining it.
Yeah. And with what you said, you know, it's kind of along the same lines, I guess. You know, that... Either one of them would have been off, shall we say, if they were to step back on this soil, whether they're pardoned or not. But,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. There's still some questions around that.
Yeah.
There is a weird link in my brain for some reason, because I have no... There's no reason, necessarily, for me to link these two things, but when I think about Julian Assange and Squirrel.
When you think of
Snowden, I also think of McAfee.
Right, John McAfee.
But I think it's because his technology and his knowledge fell into a similar realm.
Yeah.
As far as that kind of stuff goes, because
I'm pretty sure
if he was still here and he was still in full control of what his company was doing. Things like what happened with the other two guys.
Right.
May have been able to be prevented on there.
Yeah.
And we would know more.
Right.
We would still have access to it.
See, I think McAfee knew about an arrangement made with this Alphabet government agency.
And well, and the whole
no certain keywords or
the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about prior to the Patriot Act.
But then not adding to it, and then what we've added to it after that, he knew it was just going to get worse.
Oh yeah, and he knew it was nothing more than the government trying to obtain more information on its citizens.
What if he was trying to like come out with his own phone? You know what I'm saying? That nice. Like kept everybody out.
Yeah. Oh, you mean sort of like the Palestinians are using? Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh no! No, no, no! You bad boy.
No, it's actually been proven. I've seen a couple different news articles on it, segments on it as well. How the Palestinians, because they're in such a small area, it's hard to triangulate where all these calls are coming from. There's like a total of like, I don't know.
Oh, like better or three. I can see now.
Oh, there we go. There's like a total of two or three different cell towers. But it's hard for them to triangulate because there's also a dead zone there, I guess, too.
Mm-hmm.
That, and they're also using burner phones. They do it once, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Another way, and they also confirmed this, is that they're using a social media app.
Wait, hold that thought. Pause.
Pause.
Sorry about that.
Using the social media app, Telegram, which is a French-based company. And it allows for encrypted messaging without logging. Makes you wonder.
So, yeah, why can't we have that?
Right.
Where is mine? I want one. I paid for it.
It's probably taxpayer funded.
I'm going to buy it. More than likely.
I'm telling you. You know, those who would give up safety for security deserve neither.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have to fix it, and there's nowhere else to go. So how do we fix it? We teach our children what freedom and liberty is, what that means, what it means to fight for it. Defend it.
Right.
And preserve it. Well after we're gone. And not only teach them that, but teach them to teach the next generation.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
Let them understand history. Let them understand what a real patriot does. Let them understand the people who have lived.
And what is the definition?
Sacrifice, giving up the ultimate sacrifice. For the freedoms that we have today.
Yep. Pardon moi. And the definition of what it means to be a patriot, no matter where you come from.
Right. If you call yourself an American, this is your home. You need to stand up and fight for it against all evils. You pledge allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America.
And the reason that people say like, oh, I don't know, Patrick Bette David's family fled to America is why we need to fight for it.
Yes.
And protect it. Because where else is anybody going to go if they have to flee their country? They don't have to flee Russia or Ukraine or, I don't know, Uganda. Or wherever they might be. I don't know where they are. where are they going to go? Granted, but now we have a overflow of them. And unfortunately, there's a lot of good people mixed in with some very horrible people.
Right.
Which we're finding out. Some are, you know, from that thing going on over there.
And it's all in the name of don't offend. This is going to be called the offended generation. Everybody's offended by era.
The era of being offended.
You have every right in the world to be offended.
Yeah, but that's your problem, not mine.
Exactly. Your understanding or misinterpretation of what I have said or done does not result in anything I have done. It results in your interpretation.
Well, and there's going to be
moments. If you don't like moments, it, then we can part ways. No problem.
You can change the channel. And there's going to be moments where people are offended. I get offended.
Oh,
it
yeah.
happens. It's what we do with that. What we learn from it.
Right.
Whether it's something about ourselves or something about that other person. Now, our initial reaction is typically going to be, well, you know, blah, blah, blah about that guy.
Yeah.
Right. But we need to teach ourselves to rethink that. What about myself?
Yeah.
Made me so offended.
Yeah.
What is in me
right.
that caused me to be so
right.
hurt by mere
and don't try petty to use words like racist. Don't use words like misogynist.
Even if that person was a racist.
Right.
What is wrong in you that you took it so harshly?
Right. Yeah, so start questioning.
I'll be honest, I've met people that didn't like, you know, mixed race people.
Right.
And knowing the other character of that person, it actually kind of shocked me because they had never come across as, you know, that type of person.
Right.
But just because they don't necessarily like the idea of mixed race people didn't mean that they frowned upon my character.
Right.
They never treated me with any specific disrespect. You know, there's an officer in our local area that some have said, I've heard through the grapevine that he's a white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. That he's even got a specific kind of tattoo.
Right.
And I know he's super bald. But,
right. You know,
there's a lot of cops out there. They're super bald.
Yeah, they so, keep it whatever. Close.
Have you seen my chicklets? Come on.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's like a fad in the police world. It's like the mustache used to be. Steven Crowder has that police cop porn star mustache.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That YMCA
I saw it the other day. I was like, that's the look you go for now? Okay. You do you, boo, I guess. Whatever. If I was him, I'd go back to the beard. Lumberjack look. What do I know? Maybe some ladies like the porn.
No. I think I was doing something a little different.
Yeah, I got way off the subject. What was I saying?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do something a little different. Yeah.
I'm on the show next time.
All baby faced.
No, you should shave it and then like comb it like this. Like
going on now.
French. Mustaches,
right.
You know, some nice French mustaches.
Wow, all... it.
Oh, or the like old school like butcher look.
Oh yeah, you know,
or the old school barber look.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, I got way off subject. What was I talking about? Anyways, offended. Yeah.
Yeah, being offended.
So, you know.
That's. Your issue to self-reflect upon because it's nobody else's problem but yours.
And learn to laugh at yourself.
Right.
Like, what? We all have weird quirks, you know?
What happened to be able to laugh not only at yourself but at each other?
Like, I don't know how to straighten my hat. Yeah. Still feels crooked.
And the things that got the most laughs was the stereotypes that people would put out.
And there's a reason there's stereotypes, because look at my mom.
Oh, come on.
You have a Filipino mom, you know. No.
Do the voice. Come on. Come on.
No.
I hate the beaten. I don't like him.
That was racist, Phil. I'm offended.
Are you offended? Oh. That's your issue to get over. That's your hurdle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm already over it. Oh, anyway. Okay, so back to what we're really kind of here to discuss. We were talking about the education system.
Yes.
And,
this deal.
Let's see, we'll go ahead and bring this up. It was sent to us.
Yeah, we'll copy the link, put it in our live chat here.
You know, it helps if I turn that on. There we are.
There he is. Yeah, we'll take this link. It is a YouTube channel. And we'll take it and we will copy it and paste it into our live chat. Here. Yep, right there. Yep.
Can't do things.
Come on, you can multitask. You got three arms. I was just gonna say, I've seen you on dates.
I don't date. It's a waste of time for everyone. Anyway, there are reasons I'm single. Moving on. What is this guy?
Yeah, let's talk about this gentleman.
Yeah, quit talking about me.
If you guys haven't seen this video, you need to see this. You need to watch this.
All right, where are we at here? Here we go. Pretty.
I teach 7th grade. They are still performing on the 4th grade level.
4th grade level.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, home educating your children is not easy either. And my daughter does great. My son is a little bit different to deal with. Right. He's a bit dyslexic, but we've worked.
Challenged, right.
We've worked in, you know, past a lot of that, and it's getting a lot better.
Right.
However, even with his struggles, he's really still only like a grade and a half behind overall. Because his comprehension when he actually does read something is incredible.
Okay. Right.
So when you average it out, he's not as far behind as some other kids I know.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And then you listen to this, 7th grade, y'all, that's 3 grades behind.
Yes.
And when I was in 7th grade, I was reading above that level.
Yeah.
And comprehending above that level. I don't know about the rest of y'all, so let us know how you did in school and what were your struggles, but 3 grades behind and none of them have been held back.
Right.
So why is that? And this is American kids, like, you know.
Right.
Different schools than we know. Than we have here. But
teachers in America are beginning to panic because the children in this nation are really, really, really stupid. I wonder how they got that way. Watch.
And that's the kids that are doing well. Because I also teach 7th grade and we have kids that have math grade level equivalents of 1st and 2nd grade.
Yes.
7th grade and they have math levels of 1st and 2nd grade, you guys.
Yeah. Keep playing.
5 or 6 grades behind.
Yeah.
3rd grade, many at 4th grade, very few at grade level.
See, and my kids are starting on algebra.
Right.
They're not even in junior high yet.
Yeah.
So, that's the beauty of homeschooling, though. Yeah. Like, they can jump grades on different stuff.
You know, if you teach them to program,
uh-huh,
to write code,
uh-huh,
just keywords that they need, you know, little commands like print, you know, your arithmetic values such mm-hmm. as plus, minus, the asterisk for multiplication and the mm-hmm. slash for division.
You utilize the tools.
And they'll start using more variables. And the more variables that they use
yes.
in coding and in schoolwork,
mm-hmm.
they'll start using outside. Well, and
what do you like to do? Like, say, okay, I have a lot of projects. I have to measure things. I have to cut things. I have to, So when my son helps me with that stuff, he's still learning math. Well, okay, if we have 6 feet here, but the total is 12, then how many feet of fencing do we need in total? Okay. How many more feet in fencing do we need to buy or whatever? So he learns that stuff while helping me. So utilize the tools that you have at home, whether it's building something or cooking something. Okay. My daughter likes science. Cooking is a science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's utilized. The internet tools, I do utilize them sometimes, but I'm very particular.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to get more strict and particular, depending on,
Yes.
So, but what I'm saying is, it's not an easy thing to teach your own children, but it's worth the struggle. I'm telling you guys.
Yeah.
Because I see kids that come out of public school, and they're the big difference. And I'm over here thinking, great, my son's behind on his reading and this and that. But his comprehension level compared to some of these other kids is phenomenal.
Right.
So you have to learn to balance it out. I'm just putting that out there. Okay, right. Moving on.
Very few, if any, in some classes. These kids can't read. They can't decode. They have no vocabulary, no background knowledge. I've never seen anything like it. For context,
and every kid is different.
Oh, yeah.
No kid learns the same.
Yeah. That's understandable, but to have this many kids at this degree.
I can't say at all.
Of a grade level difference.
Yeah.
There's just no excuse.
It's insane.
Yeah. And you know what it was? I hate to say it. Left policies.
Progressive policies.
Progressive policies.
Now we have all the way up to the lack of grades. Thanks, Oregon.
Mm.
But it honestly started with the middle part, like kind of in the middle part of the millennial generation, shall we say.
Right.
Okay. Not over here closer to the 80s, but like into the 90s. They started doing that whole, what do you call it? Participation trophies.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Everyone's a winner.
Yeah, everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a prize.
Right.
Get honorable mention, that's one thing. It's like fourth place.
Yeah. Right? That means you tried real hard.
You did really well. And right. Especially if it was like, say my very first oil painting.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first one I'd ever done. I had never painted on canvas. I had never used oil paints. I got an honorable mention. I got fourth place.
That's pretty good.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But just because I entered something into the fair doesn't mean I get a prize.
Right. Still makes you wonder how Hunter Biden sells his artwork. Participation trophies, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay.
Fifth graders with significant language-based learning disabilities could write better than non-disabled seventh graders.
So she teaches special
ed. As a special education teacher, like, I'm obviously going to be working with students who require specialized instruction, but I'm not talking about specifically my students. I'm talking about students in the grade, period.
In fact, she was saying that her students seemingly doing better than your average student.
Right.
How is the special ed kids, the ones with the learning disabilities, are reading two grades higher than The not learning disabled kids?
Well, they're the ones with disabilities are actually doing it at what they consider grade level or near grade level, mm-hmm. just below it.
Just below their grade level.
Right. But they're enough that they can compete or still participate in that grade.
And they also have teachers that are, they specialize in one-on-one learning.
Yes.
They are taught, each kid is different. Mm-hmm. Each kid has a different disability.
They all are so forth. Different, right? Right.
Why don't we have teachers that teach like that, period? Mm-hmm. No matter who your students are, whether they have learning disabilities or not, can you imagine how much better the average student would be doing if they all had teachers that were trained like your special ed ones are? But they do it with a regular student. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. There are solutions, which... Yeah. Unfortunately, are not being found in progressive states like Oregon.
Here we go. For purple. Oh.
All right. School fight caused by lack of liberal restorative justice programs.
Right.
Says one liberal Oregon teacher. Who wrote this? Just by the Taxpayer Association of Oregon, OPB interviewed a former Hazelbrook teacher and equity coordinator over the two school fight videos, for which she offers many problems with the school, the main problem being a lack of restorative justice teaching in the school. Also, there is a typo there.
Sorry. Good sign.
Just throwing that out there. Okay, report says Julian Ackerman worked at Hazelbrook Middle School for the last 2 years as a 7th grade language arts teacher and the building's equity coordinator. She still works in the area but has left Hazelbrook in large part due to what she described as staff's resistant to equity work. She said the problem is an embedded culture at the school. Many teachers there want to stick to what they know. Few people showed up to equity meetings. It was hard, so hard that I had to leave. It was a really unsafe situation for the kids, Ackerman said. That middle schools have seen an increase in fights across all socioeconomic factors. And she claims the majority of Hazelbrook teachers aren't actually implementing restorative justice. When used correctly, she says that restorative justice is supposed to prevent violence from getting out of hand and help restore student relationships, if things do get out of hand.
Yeah. No, it's going to happen. Let's see. Everyone out there that's watching, everyone that's viewing this right now, they all went to school. I'm pretty sure. I'm assuming something.
During the last few generations. Yeah, most of us went to public school.
Right. And what happens at public schools? People get into beefs. People get into fights. They usually make up and become friends afterwards. Or there's that grudge between them for the rest of the school year, if not.
And they virtually just leave each other alone.
Right.
And when it became a serious problem, then the parents were brought in.
Right.
Okay. So, speaking of which, I mean, you had fights in school a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
I only had a couple instances where I had to confront a specific bully.
Right.
Right. One of which was actually clear back in kindergarten. And I confronted one because he was making fun of one of the girls for no real reason other than just to pick on her.
Right.
And then there was one that used to make fun of me for being Filipino because he didn't even know what the Philippines was. So I educated him. But the first couple of times, my confrontation with a bully wasn't physical. It was verbal. I won with words because they were stupid. And then the one where actually things did somewhat get physical, this kid had been picking on me for years. And then me and my brother both.
Right.
And then on the way to school one day, he slushed us. By the time I got to school, I was an icicle. And I walked into first period and I punched him in the face. Made his nose bleed. I didn't break it. But after that, we got along.
Right.
We had a mutual understanding now.
Right, and a mutual respect for
exactly.
one another.
Exactly.
And there's boundaries laid out.
Uh-huh.
Both
mind you, this kid and I, we lived in the same neighborhood. So, right. Like, he was constantly at me and my brother and our little friends group.
Right.
Right. And then he had school with us directly. Like,
right. Anyway. Yeah, we're getting way off subject.
I don't care. We're talking about school. So the point is that this kind of stuff, this violent behavior, it's going to happen. Especially when you get into middle school and all these boys are going through their hormones.
Right.
Okay.
But there is repercussions for your actions.
Yes.
If you got into a fight at school, you got, suspended.
And it also, it was more circumstantial back then, depending on the circumstances. So the kid that got beat up, who has been being picked on for the last 3 weeks,
right?
He didn't get in trouble. He didn't get suspended.
Right.
It was the bullies that got suspended.
Mm.
It was the bullies that got detention, so on and so forth. Got their parents brought in or whatever. Okay. The kid that got picked on, he didn't get in trouble, whereas nowadays, everybody gets in trouble. Well, it's like that Bigfoot movie that the kids like.
Right.
There's a scene in there where the teacher or the principal or whatever, he's suspending the kid that got beat up.
Mm.
And the kid's like, well, but I didn't fight. Because he didn't even fight back.
Right.
Right. And the teacher says, well, there can't be a fight if there's not a face for the fist to punch or whatever.
Wow.
But watching that scene, I'm like, you know, that's pretty much how they run schools these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, anyway. So let's go on with this. Portland area schools are seeing an increase in violence.
Right.
Yet liberal teachers blame the lack of liberal programs on the violence.
All right, keep going. Even though...
Actually, I'm going to skip down here. Oregon passed a rule making it hard to fire failing school superintendents. The Portland School District office saw a 67% increase in staff in the last 5 years, while the school within that district saw a 15% decline in enrollment. So, what does that say? Parents are like, we're out. Okay. By one measure, it costs taxpayers $40,000 per student to teach them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money per student.
Yeah.
That we're paying into for them to not be educated. The message coming out of this is, if only the progressive school districts were more progressive, then violence would be reduced. But that statement betrays itself. And I went ahead and read that because I think it's true.
Yes.
Okay, we think schools should follow the nonviolent school models, and that requires more discipline, more local control, less bureaucracy, and more teacher control over their classroom.
I agree.
But that's not saying that we have to go back to the, you know, crazy Catholic nun style where they whip you with rulers. Okay. Nobody's saying that.
I have a good idea. This is going to offend a lot of people that we was talking about earlier on. But I have a good idea. How about parents teach their kids respect at home?
Mm-hmm.
So this won't happen. Respect is something that's learned at home.
There's another system problem.
At school.
I'm going to stand up for the parents out there because this is another system problem. And I know this because I know plenty of fellow parents.
Right.
And especially if their kids are in public school, they truly feel the pressure of not disciplining their children.
Right.
Because liberal school teachers are really quick to throw somebody else under the bus.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not And if your kids are, like, in, say, therapy, which a lot of people's kids are these days,
right?
Their therapist has say over how, when, and everything else in between a parent is allowed to discipline their child.
Right.
This is a problem. This is a serious problem. If that parent is not physically abusing, mentally abusing, or emotionally abusing the child, let them be a parent.
And that just, that doesn't mean, oh, Timmy didn't get his ice cream before supper, so he's going to throw a fit, and if I don't get it for him, then I'm going to be a bad parent.
I've heard word from certain people I know of therapists not allowing them to take away things when a child is in trouble. Like, basically not really allowing to ground them.
Right.
You can't take away their TV or their whatever. Because that's more emotionally damaging. Excuse me. No.
You know what's emotionally damaging? Giving them that in the first place and having them have expectations of getting anything and everything they want.
And then going out into the real world to find out that they can't get anything and everything they want when they want it, and not understanding why that is so immature. Right. And then they either become victims of some sort of violence because, frankly, they asked for it, or they become violent themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't get what they wanted when they wanted it.
You guys have all seen videos. Sorry, I have an itch here, folks. You guys have all seen videos that, of these left-leaning liberals screaming at the top of their lungs over...
Because someone in the Walmart line was standing too close to them, right, or something stupid.
The one where the lady cut in line, and the guy goes, excuse me, ma'am, you just cut in front of me.
Yeah, that one, and then she starts screaming he was trying to, you know, assault her.
Or she was just recently a victim of... or something like
that. Or how about the one that was throwing the little kid that was throwing the flower pots and everything
around. Oh, yeah.
And nobody was going to do anything.
Right. And the mom's just standing there.
It was a grandma. She was throwing stuff at her grandma.
Oh, that's right. And couldn't do anything because, don't want to be turned in for child abuse. For not letting them get their way.
So anyway.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay, so.
All right.
Oh. I didn't realize I still had that one pulled up. So, but in highlight of these two things here, let's bring up this. The average college freshman reads at a 7th grade level.
Right.
What? What?
I believe that nowadays.
I do. But, like, because what? And yet we're spending $40,000 a student on, we were talking, like, you know, high school and middle school kids.
Mm-hmm. Most kids out there don't have that emotional maturity yet. And psychological and educational maturity.
And so many of them are socially retarded.
Yes, yes.
Even though they've been socialized.
Yeah, everyone's friends on social media.
They've been social media.
Yeah, but in real life.
Electronically socialized, let's put it that way.
If you bumped into them on the street, they'd be like.
They don't know how to talk to each other face to face. We know this. We're knowing. You know, having younger people in our families, and it's interesting. The ones out in the country are very different than the ones here in the city. The kids here in the city, they don't know how to talk to each other. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to interact with one another.
No.
They all like walk on eggshells around each other. It's weird, you guys. It's weird. Okay, but you go into the country and more rural schools, even if they're publicly schooled. Out in a more rural area.
Right.
Totally different. They're totally different. even the ones that I would say I'm a little worried about with the whole woke thing, they're still more socialized, properly socialized. They know how to interact with one another. They know how to discuss things and disagree with one another without unfriending everyone. See what I mean?
Right.
They know how to get over their obstacles in their friendships. And when there's rough in a friendship and they don't talk to each other for a while, 9 times out of 10, they come back to each other. So this kind of goes back to, I said in a couple episodes ago, maybe we need to become more rural overall, all throughout the country. Spread out. Quit piling each other on top of each other.
Do you ever notice how, and I'm so thankful that we live in a community that is this way. Mm-hmm. But where, you know, you pretty much know anybody and everybody about 6 ways of something or another.
Mm-hmm.
Through work, relationships.
The average reader in general, sorry, 7th and 8th grade level reading.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I forgot where I was going with this.
We know everyone. We're like...
Yeah, we're like 6 degrees.
Maybe.
Maybe six degrees.
You're more likely to be 3 or 4 degrees away from any given person in this city.
You know, through friends, work, you know, what have you. You know, everyone knows somebody here in town.
Yeah. Everybody knows everybody.
Where they have more people.
Even worse than it is in here. Like,
they don't know who their neighbors are
anymore. I think it's drastic watching it change around here.
Right.
And then I think how rural this area actually is.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, I live in the city. Other people would be like, you live in the podunks, dude. Like, I'm in the boonies.
Here's a good way to see whether or not you live in the quote-unquote city. Does your street have a sidewalk? All right.
Definitely not. I ain't paying taxes for that. Neither is anybody else on my street. Right. So.
If you put it in a sidewalk, now you're responsible to keep it clean and clear. Especially during the winter months.
I'm good. No. Anyway, so, yeah, the city part of this town is actually really small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, point is that people can't read, and that's the problem. So home educate your children, because that's kind of where I'm going with it today.
If I had one message to get across to all the parents out there, and to reach out and just, you know, from one parent to the next. If you've had one child, or if you've had several, not one child, or each and every one of them, none of them have ever came with their user manual that tells you how to raise that particular child. You, as a parent, are the first teachers of that child. You teach them how to sit up.
You're the number one teacher.
You teach them words, you know, dada, mama, and go on from there. You also tell them what's funny, what's not funny. But if he laughs at something that's not funny and you go, oh, isn't that cute? No, tell him, that's not really funny. You know, someone could have got hurt or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teach them right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't teach them to live in a fantasy world.
No, granted, when my kids fell down, a lot of times had to hold back the laugh. But my initial thing was always, are you all right? And they got up and said, yeah. Or they were like, oh, crying. Are you bleeding? Oh, we might have to cut it off. Oi! Someone get the saw. No. Oh.
Right.
Do we need to take you to the hospital? No. Do you need stitches? No. I think you'll live. Okay.
Does it hurt? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, it might hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt a little bit.
Because that'll teach you not to
do it. But what did you learn? Exactly.
That's how we learn things. If it's good or if it's bad, if it hurts or if it doesn't hurt. That's how we learn. And as parents, we have to mold that learning.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy. Like you said, nobody's given a manual.
No, there's not a manual
and for any child. And with every kid, it's a new learning experience.
Oh, yeah. Because they're going to be two different personalities. They're two individual kids.
And a lot of times, just going off my own personal experience, as well as other things that I've read, but a lot of times, honestly, your first child is going to be your easiest.
Oh.
A lot of times. I'm not saying all the time.
Right.
But for a lot of people, their first kid was their easy kid. That's not always true. I'm just saying. Because
no, he was actually pretty easy because when I was younger, and I have to admit it, as a young parent, very young parent, I used to still party, you know, after he was born, play the music loud, and it'd never wake him up. He'd sleep right through it.
But then I do know other people where their first child was the...
Yeah.
But it's interesting, too, because the people that I know that their first child was a little more of a handful...
Right.
They had already previously significantly helped raise another child.
Yeah.
That wasn't biologically theirs.
Right.
Okay, you know one person I'm speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's got two girls. Her first child was... Okay. Her second one is... pretty mellow, you know. She's got her ups and downs, obviously, but pretty mellow compared to her firstborn.
Right.
You know, so I think there's significant differences, you know, depending on the situation. Yeah. But a lot of times it seems like the first kid, kind of your practice run. God's like, well, we'll see how you do. You know, I'm just saying. And then the second child, well, this is you reincarnated.
Am I pros again?
Oh, you are. Yeah. Too busy looking at you. Where is this thing? Where's the thing? I found it. I found the thing.
See, Billy was trying to find the fixer so that you guys could see me doing something that I was definitely not doing, though. I might have been making this sound.
He was doing the disco.
I was doing the disco.
And then he totally gave me the bird. Give me the bird. What kind of bird? It was just fried chicken. Don't worry about it. Oh. Okay. So, anyways. Back to the point was that... quit relying on the public school system. And honestly, with how many dollars are supposedly going to every student?
I say, if you're curious of what's going on in your children's classroom, let's put...
go ahead.
Let's go ahead and...
do your research.
Do your research. Or see if the school, with this budget that they have, they just hired so many new staff members.
And any information you guys find, like, send it to us. You know, people, we have to learn from each other. Nobody's going to give us this.
I want to say, let's have cameras in the classroom where it's broadcast on a particular page on the school's website. They host it. Where as a parent, you can log in to view that camera, not just somebody logging into a certain page and going, oh, look, there's kids. No, we don't want no free voids. We want people that are, concerned parents that want to know what's going on in the classroom.
And go to like local meetings and stuff. I mean, I don't go to like local school board meetings, but if anyone in our area does and you have videos or notes that you took, let us know what information you find out.
Definitely.
Because my kids are in public school, so I honestly don't really think about that much because, you know, my personal opinion, just don't send your kids to public school. Keep them home where they belong. But I'm very strongly opinionated in that, and simultaneously, I believe in freedom. So exactly. If that's not for you, I get it. Not everybody is... up for trying to educate their children at home because it is a task. right. quite the task.
Now, do you want a child, and ask yourself this as a parent, do you want your child to be educated?
Or indoctrinated.
Or indoctrinated.
See, that's where I'm at. But I also choose to not really conform with anything, like I said before. So, nonconformity, yay! That's why I borderlined on being an anarchist, which we've talked about on this show before, you know. And I'm not saying anarchy is good, because ultimately it's bad, but having a bit of anarchist in your heart doesn't hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, whoops, wrong one. Anyway, there is one more little article. I'm going to link it. I'm not going to go over it because it's totally off the subject, but I ran by it today. And it has to do with, you know, gun rights and stuff. And I just thought it might be an interesting read for you guys. Or some other time when you have time. Oh, we have a message. Yes, do your kids' friends know who you are? Do you talk to them? Do you listen to how they talk to one another? And what do they...
Do they know they can trust you?
Yes, and do they know that they can trust you? And do they know what trust is? That's a good question. Thank you, Miss Shannon. We appreciate your comment. Because that's a very good point. How well do you know your kids and their friends? And do your kids, not only do they trust you, but do they know what it means to trust? And that can be a difficult thing to teach kids. I think all of us as parents struggle with. How do you teach your kid what trust is? How to trust? How to fix Butch's camera again?
That's because I fell asleep on the job.
You're probably,
it looks like.
I did.
Anyway, there we go.
But you know,
I was just responding.
When your kids do something good, something that you can be proud of, don't simply say proud of them.
No.
I mean, sometimes that's all it needs. I'm proud of you. But at the same time, you've got to add when you can, when it's appropriate, that what they did not only made you proud, but it showed that they can trust you.
Right.
Or that you can trust them.
Right.
Okay. And when your kid calls you out for something that honestly you need to be called out for, own up to it.
Yeah.
Because that also shows your kids that they can trust you. Mm-hmm. That when you did wrong, that you're willing to admit it. So, take that self-accountability. And I preach it all the time. So I really try to take accountability when,
right.
you know, one of my kids says, hey, you know, you did this and then you said this. You know what? Kiddo, you're right. So, we have to teach them by example first and foremost.
Right.
You know, once in a while, there's the do as I say, not as I do. Why? Because I am an adult and you are a child. But for most things in life, teach by example.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. even for things that do as I say, not as I do, it's because when you are an adult and you have become mature enough to make your own decisions, old enough to make your own decisions, then you can do such things.
Right.
As an adult. And that's important for them to know, too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So. Alright. Let us know what you guys think in the comments below. Do you have any pointers for other people in the comments? Do you educate your children at home or at public school? If you do it at home, please leave comments below, because there's always home educating parents that are looking for advice from others wanting to learn from your experience.
Right.
So, part of the question, everything learned together.
That's right. All right. Thanks for joining us this week. I just got a new tongue, new teeth, so I'm just trying it out, taking it for a test drive. Not quite used to them yet. Kind of pulls to the right. Anyway.
It's too much glue. Anyway.
Hey, thank you for joining us this week. Thanks for tuning in, watching us, and supporting the channel. If you like the video, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification so you'll be notified every and every time we have a new video coming out to you and even our live ones.
Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode because I missed my cousin's birthday party today. For you. Anyway.
With that, don't believe the nonsense.
And stay uncommon.